sin high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love and sing holy. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to sing.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Y'all be seated for a minute. You know, I'm going to try to find this song. It was requested that I sing this song, so... Like they say, there's no better time than the present. So y'all just pray for me tonight. It's going to be page number 40. I didn't know. It's key of C. It's page number 40 in the, 40 in the red book. Amen. So y'all just pray for me tonight. I hadn't sung this song in many years, and we started singing this Wednesday. Was it last Wednesday we sang it? And I just wanted to sing the verses too. So y'all just pray for me tonight. And I'm so glad he was there all the time. I'm so glad.
Time after time, I went searching for peace in some void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. And all the while someone was begging to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Never again will I search for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to mend. Sharing each new day with Him is a cup of fresh life. Oh, what I missed. He was waiting there all the time. He was there all
time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. He was there.
Bless you tonight. Let's stand, look into the scripture. And I'm so glad he was there waiting all the time.
Glory.
Amen. All the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. We went down some hard roads, but you know, God had a plan for all of it. Amen. So tonight we're going to read a little, take a little thought tonight. And we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. And let's just all bow our heads before we read the scripture tonight. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening, Lord, that we can come in your house. Lord, we just pray that you just come by our way one more time, Lord Jesus, and just come speak to us. Lord, just help me get out of the way that you can just come speak to your people, Lord. Lord, just a little thought out of the scripture, Lord Jesus, but that's all it takes, Lord. Just one word from you, Lord, it makes it all worthwhile. And we just pray that you just come, Lord, speak to us, minister in a special way to each one, all the needs, those that are sick, Lord, afflicted, whatever the needs may be, Lord Jesus. Lord, each unspoken request, Lord, you know what's on each heart, and Lord, what each person has need of, Lord, we just pray that you be with them, Lord, the ones that, Lord, to watch by the way of the internet, Lord Jesus, and we just pray that you just be with them, Lord. Lord, just minister in a special way, Lord. Many times we forget that. But Lord, as this word goes forth, Lord, it's not us, Lord, but it's you. Lord, because you're the one that has to do the work, Lord. We just be faithful as this little scripture is, Lord Jesus, let's just be faithful in what we do. And Lord, in the end, Lord Jesus, as the scripture tells us, you'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Lord, that's what we want to do. Lord, we want to be found faithful all the way to the end. And Lord, we just pray tonight. Lord, just bless your bride around the world. Lord, Lord, the ones that are on the field, Lord, carrying your gospel, we just pray that you just bless them, strengthen them. Lord, give them what they have need of. We commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Take me up. Got to get a prayer cloth. There's a man at work that I work with. He's going to have knee replacements. So I told him I'd get him a prayer cloth.
Amen.
So y'all just remember him. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the prince might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion except this Daniel, against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. We all know the story of Daniel in the lion's den, so that's not going to be anything new to us. But, you know, the one thing that I kept coming back to this scripture where it talks about Daniel was faithful. And that word just, you know, being faithful. You know, God is faithful. You know, God's not faithful to me. He's not faithful to you. But he's faithful to his word. Because he is his word. You can't separate the two. And he's faithful to what the word says. And that's the reason he said the only way that you can approach God is by the word. It's through the word. That's how we approach God, to know. And, you know, there's many scriptures in the Bible, and I didn't give these scriptures to them. Y'all just pray for me. You know, sometimes, like, I think what Brother Wade was talking about some time back, you know, you can try to get a sermon together and some are easier than others. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you're fighting uphill all the way, you know. It's like trying to push a rope, you know, you're not getting anywhere. But, you know, God's faithful. And you know, it's one of the things I was thinking about. You know, if we try to do anything in ourselves, if we try to use our own intellect, our own ability to do anything, you know, we're an ultimate failure. You know, we mess up anything. And you know, that's one of the things that God wants us to do. Sometimes we have to go through trials and tribulations, you know, to show who we are. And you know, there's many people and you know, I want to look at a couple of different people, but you know, I love some of these things that this is from the book of Psalms. Psalms 36:5, David says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." He says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Yeah. Psalms 89:2 says, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens." Yeah. Psalms 89:5 and says, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints." Psalms 89:8 says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" And so there, Psalms 119:90 says, "Thy faithfulness is in all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth." And Lamentations tells us that he says, talking about the mercies and everything. Lamentations 3:23 talks about the mercies and everything. And it says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So many times, but I sometimes if you ever get, I don't know if you ever get, down, if you get depressed, I don't think there's a better book in the Bible to me sometimes than to get in the book of Psalms. You know, you start reading the things that David starts talking about, and he starts talking about how great God is, and the mercies of God and the grace of God and the healing power of God and his deliverance and all these different things. And you know, you start realizing, you know, that's to you. And I tell you what, you know, it's just like a good drug sometimes. You know, everybody wants to find find the new drug for this, and you know, they have to have a prescription. But I tell you what, the prescription is this right here. Dr. Jesus has a wonderful prescription. I tell you what, you get in the Word of God, and you know what? It just seems to uplift you, and you know what? Because you can draw on that. And you know, that's the thing that we have to do is get into, stay in the Word of God, because you know, you can't fight a battle without being behind the Word, being fortified in the Word. But I'm so glad that He's faithful. He's faithful to us even when we're not faithful to Him. And I want to be faithful. I want to be found faithful. I want to be as faithful to Him as He is to me. I want to be found faithful. And you know, here in the scripture, you know, I kept coming back to this story about David, Daniel. And you know, Daniel was such a wonderful man. He was such a servant of God that people realized what kind of person he was. Darius, the king, wanted him to be over everybody, to be his right-hand man. But you know, he had such a spirit about him that, you know, nobody said they could put a finger on any fault that he had, anything that he had done wrong. And they said, they said, the only way that we're going to get to him, why? Because they were jealous of him. And you know, I want to look at a thought tonight. You know, we look at, many times we look in the scripture and we see things in the Old Testament. We look in the scripture and we don't realize, you know, those things are the very things are today.
Amen.
You know, there's no time stamp on the Bible. We see those things exactly the same. Why? Because, you know, God's spirit is still moving today, and the spirit, the devil's still moving today. This, you know, the evil spirits are still moving today. The same demons that were back there are still moving today. You know, we find even in the scriptures, you know, we start to see, you know, the scriptures are repeating themselves because those devils had a position. They had a job back there. And you know what? They have the same job today. So whatever the job that they were doing back there, because even, you know, we'll look at some of that later on, but you know, they still have that position. You know what? They have come after you. That's their position today, is to be after the bride. Now, you know, here in the scripture, it says that Daniel, being the greatest one of them all, but all of the other presidents and priests and the counselors and all, you know, they tried to find something against him. And, you know, they knew the one thing that they could get Daniel at. And you know, the scripture tells us that Daniel done something three times a day, and everybody knew it. He had a prayer life. You know, he was a prayer warrior. And you know, there's a lot of people that don't know what that means. Well, you know, and I find myself lacking in that. You know, we all can probably do a better job, because that's one thing that Brother Bram said we can't do enough of. You can't pray enough. And you know, there was the story, and I can't remember who was talking, but you know, of Stonewall Jackson. You know, there was a man that wrote to General Jackson, was talking about the scripture where it says pray without ceasing, and he said, "How is it that you can pray all the time?" He said, "I find that very difficult to do that." And you know, what was so amazing was Stonewall Jackson's answer was, you know, he said that anything that he done revolved prayer. You know, Brother Bram tells us the story that he said, General Jackson said that I don't open my mouth to drink water if I don't give thanks to God for the water. And he said it becomes such a action. He said, just as I would pick this up and open my mouth to drink, he said, that's how natural it was for me to pray for it. And you know, when he taught at Virginia Military Institute, you know, he said, before I go into that classroom, he said, I pray to God that he prepares me to teach those young men. And he said, I pray for them to learn from me, that they come in the spirit of, you know, and I don't drop a letter in the mailbox. And he said, until I pray for the person that receives it in the spirit that it's sent in. He said, I don't open a letter. He said, until I pray to God for him to prepare me for the contents of it. He said, everything that I done revolved around God. Yeah. And it seems like a very simple thing to do, but you know, that's what the devil fights you at. You know, many times, you know, people ask Brother Branham, you know, how do I get closer to God? What's the simple thing to do? He said, pray and read your Bible.
Right.
But you know, that's where the devil wants to hinder you. It's a simple thing, but you know, he'll fight you at it.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
You know, anytime you try to do good, he wants to be there.
Sure. Yeah.
He wants to hinder you.
Right.
And you know, I like that that old song, you know, the Lord will make a way somehow. Said, when beneath the cross I bow.
Yeah, right.
You know, because he said, you know, and he said, when I try to do the right thing, evil's present on every hand. Yeah. Anytime you try to do right, the devil's going to be right there to stop you.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, Daniel had a prayer life with God, and everybody knew what he done, and they knew about his God.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
And you know, It's so interesting that when you read in the scripture here that when they said, well, that's the only way that we can get to Daniel is through his God, through his belief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, they went to the king and they said, well, we want to create this decree. You know, according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, you know, whatever the king decreed, it couldn't be changed. It couldn't be altered. And so, you know, when he brought that forth, you know, here they are, they go in there, and the first thing they say is, and the one thing that you find out was, and it stands out to me when you read this story, is that Daniel was not part of this committee. And you would think that, you know, it just stands out to me that if I was Darius the king and I seen all of these great counselors and presidents and princes and everything like that, the head man that's over everybody, that's my right hand man's not there. You know, that's just stood out to me. Why wasn't there, you know, the first thing you would think is the first thing that would happen if Darius was there is like, where's Daniel? But you know, he doesn't say that. But you know, they go in there and as in the modern term, you know, they stroke his ego.
Yeah.
You know, oh great King Darius, live forever. You know, you're so wonderful. You know, and they, you know, yeah, they know how to get to him.
Right.
You know, lots of times if you pet somebody and you know, and you say the right thing and you smooth them and you know, stroke their ego and you know, everything, then all of a sudden, sometimes people don't think before they act. And so here's Darius. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that. What would you like?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, well, we have this decree. We have sat in council together that we want to pass this decree that nobody will pray or consult anybody but you, O great king. For 30 days. Well, all of a sudden, the king's like, sounds good.
Yeah.
I like that. When before, he had it in his mind that Daniel was such a part of
sure.
this kingdom.
Yep. Right.
That, you know, I got to put Daniel over everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, when they were doing all that, he didn't even come to and say, well, you know what? Let me consult Daniel about that. He didn't do any of that.
Right.
And so, you know, he got all wrapped up in himself and he bypassed his right-hand man.
Right.
And then he went right in and said, sure, let's pass that. I think that's a great, great law. Let's do that. And then what happens? The scripture tells us that when Daniel hears that Darius decreed this law that made him praying to his God illegal, the scripture says that Daniel went home and opened up his windows
right.
and pulled back the sashes
yep.
and prayed to God as he had done every other time.
Right.
And no doubt the scripture tells us that the spies were there because they were there to make sure to see Daniel breaking the law.
Sure. Amen. Right.
But you know what? Daniel didn't change his... You know, he didn't say, well, I'm going to pray to God, but I'm going to pray in the closet.
No.
You know, I'm not going to, and you know, and the thing is Daniel didn't go out in the street and stand in front of everybody and pray.
Right.
He didn't go before King Darius and get down on his knees and pray. Number one, he didn't hide from his convictions. Neither did he become a show off.
Right.
But he went before as he done every single day was he went before God in his window and done the exact same thing on the roof of his house and went and prayed before God. And the spies were there to watch him, and they come and told the king, Daniel's broke your law. Well, you know what? Then all of a sudden, then we find out that the king is, now he's all worked up because he realized the mistake he's made. Because now he's put Daniel in a life-threatening situation. And you think about it, the first thing that Darius thinks is, I've just signed Daniel's death warrant. He's a dead man. Because he's going in the den of lions. And you know, and the scripture says that when Daniel come up to this, and then when Darius sees him, you know, Darius is so worked up, but you know, the first thing that Darius tells Daniel, he tells Daniel, he says, your God will deliver you. He had some confidence in the God of Daniel.
Right, yeah.
The scripture tells us that Darius, when he went and told him, then he went home and said he didn't eat, he didn't sleep,
right.
Nobody done nothing, but he prayed all night.
Right.
And he tossed and turned because Daniel had been thrown in the lion's den.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
And what a horrible situation that we, you know, the scripture tells us, and Brother Branham tells us, you know, you never sin alone.
Right.
Anything that you do that's wrong, you don't sin by yourself.
Right.
And you know, all the way through the scripture, you'll find anybody that breaks God's rule, it comes down, it's calamity.
Right.
You don't do it by yourself. You know, so many times we look through all the way through the scripture and we see all the ones. There's so many people that are in the scripture, you know, that we see that when they come to these places, you know, why it's so important for us to consult God with every decision that we make. But you know, here's Daniel, you know, when he goes in the lion's den and Brother Branham says, it's just like when the three Hebrew children were cast in, you know, they were on a death march. And you know, when they went on this death march, you know, the people that went before them died. And the people that tried to put them in the furnace died. And, you know, they made the furnace hotter. But it was so amazing because, you know, they went out there and they said, well, this was the decree, but you know, we don't care. Our God's more than able to deliver us, but if he don't, you know, we're not going to change our mind.
Yep, right.
We still believe what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, and we're still not going to bow.
Yep.
We're still not going to change our way of living.
Right.
And here's Daniel. You know, I don't think, you know, when they threw Daniel in, you know, I don't think Daniel was clawing the walls.
No.
I don't think they had to tie Daniel up to throw him in.
No.
You know, they didn't, you know, they didn't have to, you know, beat and force him. No, I think he was ready to go.
Right.
And you know, and Brother Branham tells us in the message, God hath provided a way. You know, Brother Branham says, he let Daniel hear the roar of the lion. Maybe his hot breath right against him. That lions were with their mouths open, hungry down in this pit. And the lions rushed right at him and with a great roaring blast till they were ready to seize on to Daniel.
Yep.
So right up until the time, not only did he throw in, but I mean right there, they were right on top of him.
Right.
He said all at once he was covered with an angel. Amen. Light swirled around him. No doubt but it was the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. He said, God, because he says, God is a consuming fire. So, you know, there he was. So, you know, it didn't just, you know, God just didn't allow, you know, have this circle around Daniel when he went in. No, he got to get the full effect of it.
Oh,
He got to go through the whole thing, but you know what? God was there with him.
Amen.
And you know, many times we wonder why things happen the way they do, and we see things, how bad they have to get.
That's right.
But you know, those things happen because God wants us to put our faith in him,
right,
not to have faith in us.
Right,
or see confidence in other things.
Right,
you know, it's just like, you know, another story in the Old Testament. You know, David, you know, when we go back to the Old Testament there in 1 Samuel, you know, the children of Israel had to fight the Philistines many times. And you know what was so amazing? You know, one battle, I think it's 1 Samuel, I think it's 4, but you know, it talks about there was 30,000 men were killed. The Philistines overran the children of Israel, and 30,000 men were killed in one time, in one battle. But you know what? You go back and you read right after that. And you read right after that, and you know what? The children of Israel win another battle. And then they win another battle. And then they take the Ark of the Covenant, and, you know, God smote them, and they give back the Ark of the Covenant. And, you know, all of the things that they were just continuing, the fighting that went on between the Philistines and the children of Israel. Well, when you see all of this fighting going on, and then when it continues, and you know, we find out that the children of Israel win another battle. And they win another battle. And then all of a sudden, you know, so it's not like the Philistines overran them all the time. But you know, they did lose to them. But you know what? They had a hero. The Philistines brought their, you know, Goliath came out to them, and you know, he was their hero. He was their superstar. He was their everything. The whole Philistine army was wrapped up in that one man. And you know, he went out there, and it was so amazing. The one man that should have went out there to fight Goliath was Saul. Saul should have been the one to fight that man. But you know, he didn't. Instead of fighting, you know, he stayed back. And you know, the one thing that Saul didn't create any kind of faith. He didn't create any kind of courage. He didn't do anything to them. But he created a whole atmosphere of fear.
Right.
And he let Goliath stand out there and continually call for them. And you know, it's such a psychological warfare. You know, they talk about the Battle of the Alamo and how Santa Anna, when he had the Alamo surrounded, you know, he kept playing the same tune and, you know, all of the psychological warfare things that he done to those people. Well, you know, here they are. These people, you know, they've seen God move on the scene before and fight the same battle. It was the same people that they had fought before. God had defeated the Philistines before. And here it is, one more time. And yet, they let their surroundings dictate to them what was going to take place. You know, here's the man that was head and shoulders above everybody. The man that Israel wanted for king, and he was afraid. You know, and you know, what kind of God, you know, or king is this? This is the person that you wanted to represent you. They turn the prophet Samuel down, and they bring this great man in, and he can't do anything for him. But here's David. You know, David passed all that by, and you know, David came out there and told him, "Listen, I don't care what you have that you have to say. I know what God's done for me."
Right.
And, you know, and he had a whole different mindset. And you know, he went and testified to Saul what God had done for him.
Amen.
What God had done, what he had seen God do. He didn't worry about what took place.
Right.
And you know, when he went past all of that, you know, Saul wanted to, you know, train him and mold him into his own image and, you know, let me give you some armor. Let me, no, I don't need any of that. Let me tell you what God's done for me. Let me show you what God is, because God's been faithful to me. He said, when I was on the back sheep, on the back side of the desert, nobody was there but me and God. And you know what God showed me? God showed me that this little slingshot's deadly. That's all I need is that little slingshot. It'll do the job. And so, you know, when he went out there, you know, he went out there and he took on Goliath. You know, everybody else was afraid. But you know, he said, well, I'm gonna do what I do. Because he said, you send me a dog. Goliath said, you send me a dog, you send me this little ruddy fella. That's the best you got. And he said, well, listen. He said, you come at me and with all your armor and cursing me and all the names of your gods and everything. But he said, you made a mistake.
Amen.
He said, the battle's not mine.
Amen.
He said, I'm just representing one.
Right.
I'm just here in representation of one. He said, you defied God. You defied the living God.
Yeah, right.
The armies of God. He said, this battle's not mine.
Amen.
But he said, I'm going to be the one that God's going to use.
Amen.
Why? Because it's just being faithful to what God said. And he went out there, and you know, he didn't have to fight. He just had to do what he knew what to do. Wound up that little sling, threw that rock, killed a man, killed the Goliath, the giant, their hero. And it's the same way with you and I. You know, many times we keep going around the same mountain. So many times we fight the same battle. And you know what? If God's done it one time, you know what? He's going to do it again. If God has ever met your need one time, whatever it is, if you meet him on the same conditions, he's got to do it again. If he's ever done it for one, he's got to do it again. You know, so many times we think, well, you know, I'm praying for healing and I'm believing for my healing on whatever it is. And you know, one day we wake up and whatever devil you want to name, you know, if it's sugar diabetes and your sugar's shooting through the roof one day and it's bottoming out the next, whatever it is, and you can't control it. And the doctor said, well, we got to do this or whatever else, or we're going to change your medicine or whatever the problem may be. You know what? The word of God never changed. And if he said, and by my stripes you're healed. He said, so it's a finished work. Well, you know, if, you know, and many times we've gotten to places where, you know, you don't see a way. Well, God touches you one time and he touches your diabetes and, you know, it goes and your body's fine. Well, then the next day, you know, then he's attacking you again. Well, you know what? It's just like a boxer. You know, it's just like a boxer. You know, many times when a boxer is fighting, you know, he's throwing one punch. And he's trying to set you up. You know, because when you study a boxer, you know, it's just like throwing a punch. You know, sometimes they just throw a punch just to get you to move, just to see how you're going to react to it. But you know, the other punch is the one that's deadly. That's the one he wants to punch you with. Well, you know, the thing is the same way with the word of God is if you've lined up the devil and you keep punching, you know what? You're going to knock him out. And if you've knocked him out one time, then you know what? You just keep waiting because it's going to come the time you're going to knock him out again. The problem is you've got to keep fighting. You've got to be faithful to the word of God and you've got to keep punching the devil. Why? Because if he keeps coming at you, then you've got to keep coming back at him. Because you know the thing is, if we ever give up, and you know many times we get down and we get discouraged, but the thing is you got to keep fighting. You still got to keep going. And so the thing is you got to keep walking the same road that you've been continuing on, and just continue on that. That same simple message, that same simple walk, and you know what? You'll meet God there. Why? Because he's going to meet you there. You know, it didn't stop Daniel because he just kept going on and he kept praying the same thing that he'd always done. He just kept on doing it. And David went out there and done the exact same thing. He went out there and he met Goliath. Why? Because he knew what God would do and he just done what he had done before. And if you and I are the same way, because, you know, the same one that found you wherever you were at in your life, you know, if you were sitting on a pew every day of your life and you just sat in church and you sat in church and you sat in church and you heard Brother Branham all your life and you knew ever since you were knee-high to a grasshopper, you knew Brother Branham was a prophet, but it never was real to you. Then, you know, the thing is one day God had to cross your path and touch your heart and open your eyes to understand that, you know, you need a Savior. And if it didn't matter if you was in a Catholic church, you was on a bar stool, wherever you were at, wherever God found you, God had to cross your path and bring eternal life to you, to bring it to you so that you could see it. Because the first thing you got to do, you've got to see it before you can receive it. And the thing is wherever you were at, if he brought it to you, and you know, the thing is if it was just, if it was just justification, then you know what? Just because he come by your way and brought you justification, then you know what? That automatically sets you on a journey to sanctification. Because you know what? Whatever it may be, whatever God has brought you to, then you know what? If you keep looking and you keep desiring, then God's automatically going to start bringing you to something else. God never holds you back. The only thing that hinders God is us, is our unbelief. We're the only ones that hold God back. Why? God wants us to get ourselves out of the way so that he can minister, so that he can move. But we stand in the way. But I want to be found faithful. What's faithful? What God told me to do.
Right.
To walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
To pray and seek his face.
Right.
And he said we'd hear from heaven.
Right. Yeah.
He'd speak to us. But do we keep doing that? Just keep pressing, keep pressing. Be faithful in what God's called us to.
Right.
You know, many times we end up, you know, Brother Branham said that, you know, everybody likes those mountaintop experiences. You know, he talks about Mount Sinai and Mount Carmel and all the different ones. He said everybody likes a mountaintop experience. He said, but you know what? You never can grow up there.
Right.
He said real growth takes place in the valley.
Right.
He said you got to go through some valleys in your life.
Right.
And so, you know, we have to go through these hard times, you know, just like... That's where, you know, David met Goliath. He had to go in a valley, in a low place. And, you know, that's where God wants us to be at sometimes. Why? Because that's where we actually stand.
Right.
We can see where God comes and ministers to us and gives us what we have need of. Now, here in the scriptures, back in... Daniel chapter 6. It says in verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered, said, the thing is true according to the laws of Medes and Persian, which altereth not. So, verse 14 says, and when the king... when he had heard these things, were sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and set upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. It says, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither was there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose, rose very early in the morning and went in haste in unto the den of lions. And when he came unto the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency. Whew. Tongue twister. Blah. Most of the time I can talk. I don't know. Amen. Amen. What's found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found unto him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they had cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives. So you don't sin by yourself. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So Daniel went in and obviously made it to the bottom, and they come at him. But when King Darius made the decree to cast the men in that tried to kill Daniel, they didn't make it to the bottom. The scripture, if you read that, or ever they came at the bottom of the den, said the lions killed the people they were throwing in and breaking their bones before they ever made it to the bottom of the den. Yep. So, you know, it works amazing how that takes place. You know, we look in the scripture, and you know, there's times that people, you know, things happen, and it's so amazing that, you know, when you look at that, it's just like the children of Israel when they're crossing the Red Sea, and all of a sudden this great miracle takes place and the seas parted, and now all of a sudden 3.5 million people start walking across dry land, and all of a sudden the Egyptian army, you know, if my enemies, God can do that, I would get the thought, maybe I shouldn't go that way. You know, usually if you study tactics, you don't walk into, you know, if you see people going a certain way, you know, many times when you talk to soldiers and people that's fought in different wars or whatever, you know, lots of times they'll see people going a certain way. Well, you know, sometimes they think, well, you know what, we're not going to go that way. Yeah. Because, you know, there's danger there. You know, just like the little story, I don't know if I ever told you the story about the three preachers that were walking across the water. The first two started walking across the water, and the third one couldn't figure out what was going on. And he got over there and he took one step and he went up over his head. And the second one turned to the first one and said, do you think we should have told him where the rocks were? You know, sometimes when there's a certain way, you know, if you don't know where you're going, you don't go that way. You know, sometimes, you know, you talk to the brother, you know, different ones that served in like Vietnam and different places. You don't take the trail that looks the easiest. You know, they're the ones that, you know, they walk up and take the long way around, and you know, they take the hardest way. Why? Because you know what? Your enemy's not going to booby trap the hardest way to go. He's going to booby trap the easiest path. And all of a sudden, here they are, you know, the Egyptian army, they're right behind them. Hey, you know, they're going across, we're going across. Well, you know, that's not good warfare. But you know, there they are going across, and all of a sudden, when the children of Israel get across, you know what? It's death to them. All of a sudden, you know, the God holding them back, it collapses on them. And, you know, many times people set a trap for somebody, and you know what? In the middle of that trap, the person that it's set for is not the person that ends up in the trap. And you know, even when you look in the book of Ruth, they said a trap for Mordecai. Well, you know what? Mordecai didn't end up in it. You know, all the way through the scripture, you find these things. Why? Because God delivers them out of it. And you know, God is wanting us to walk with Him, walk through these things. And you know, whatever God brings us to, we want to be faithful to that, to make our way through. You know, Brother Branham was talking, you know, he said, you know, when you look at the Word of God, you know, he was talking one time, he said, you know, I don't care. He said, if my clothes match or nothing, he said, the one thing I've got, he said, I want to make sure that my experience matched God's Word. That's what I want to be faithful to that my experience matches what God says. You know, Abraham Lincoln said one time, and he was, during the Civil War, he had an advisor to him, and you know, many of you have heard the expression that he said, you know, he said, we're so glad that the Lord's on our side. And Lincoln turned to him and said, you know, he said, my concern is not whether God's on my side or not. He said, my greatest concern is to be on God's side. He said, because God's always right. He said, that's why I want to be where God's at. I want to be what God's doing because God, whatever God's doing is right. I could be wrong. You know, Lincoln said one time, you know, he said, you know, there's a pretty good chance that you got two people arguing. He said, one of them's going to be wrong. He said, you know, people trying to argue. And he said, how can you have people praying on both sides fighting the same thing? And he said, God can't be for something and against something. And people arguing over the same thing. And you know, Brother Branham said, you know, here you got one group on this side, one group on this side, and here they are arguing back and forth of who's right and who's wrong. And then, you know, Brother Bram says, well, let me just stand in the middle. You know, because people make this assumption that's sometimes very wrong, that, you know, if you're wrong, I'm automatically right. Well, sometimes, you know, we find out that both of them are wrong. You're wrong and I'm wrong. Because, you know, if I've got an opinion, you got an opinion, we run the real risk of both of us being wrong. But, you know, what does God say? What does God's Word say? You know, do we walk the same way that God wants us to walk? That's what we have to do. Can we walk the same way that God's walking? You know, do we follow the way God wants us to do it? You know, because if we try to figure things out on our own, we don't get anywhere. We can't figure it out. You know, just like Brother Bram tells a story about the Jeffersonville Fire Department. I'm pretty familiar with everybody. But you know, he talks about the Jefferson Fire Department comes to fight this big fire, and the man's out there, spray a little water here, spray a little water there. And then he said the Clarksville Fire Department comes in there, spray a little water here, spray a little water there. But he said, you know what? He said they brought trained men in. Real men knew how to fight a fire, knew what they were doing. And he said the first thing they done, he said the fire chief was up the ladder. As soon as they threw the ladder up, he was up there and told him, said, come on, boys. Knocked the wind out, went right in. He said it didn't take long, the fire was out. Right. Why? Because it took somebody who knew what they were doing. Right. And you know, the thing is, you know, he said many times it's just like preachers, that you have preachers that, you know, if you don't follow God's plan, it's like you spray a little water here, spray a little water there. You know what? You're not going to get anywhere. No. Why? Because you got to get to the root of the problem. You got to get to the down, to the very root. You got to get to the base of it. And that's what this other fireman, he was able to do. And you know, that's what God wants us to do. You know, we can march around and try to do things in ourselves, but we'll never get there. But you know what? God, he wants us to get down to the root of the problem. And you know what? God can find the root. Why? Because the scripture says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So he knows what the heart of the matter is. And he can get to that point. And you know, the thing is we want to, you know, have a great thing take place. But you know, God wants us to walk the way He wants us to walk.
Amen.
He wants us to walk the journey that we walk.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham was, I think somebody was talking to Brother Branham one time, and they asked him, said, Brother Branham, what do you think about this, you know, juvenile delinquency problem? And, you know, asking about juvenile delinquency. And he said, well, it wasn't juvenile delinquency, it's parent delinquency.
Right.
You know, everybody wants to beat on the children. Well, it's all your fault. Well, no, lots of times he said it's the parents' fault.
Right.
Why? Because if the parents are more responsible than the kids are. Because if you don't train them up, if you don't stay, because you know, you have to be their Holy Ghost. You have to be the one that oversees them and leads them and guides them until they're accountable for themselves. But you know, if we don't do that, then you can't hold anybody else responsible but for yourself. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, what's wrong with you? Well, sometimes if you look at the parents, that's where your answer's at. Because you know that's what I see. Because you know what, you can't, if anything that you say or you try to do, the thing is you've got to do it in the understanding and through the Spirit of God. You've got to have the Lord working in the situation. Because you know, you can do more damage than you do good.
Right.
You know, as tonight when I was getting ready, Adam he likes to ask me. He's like, "What are you gonna preach on tonight, Daddy? What are you going to preach on? See, they didn't know I was going to talk about this, not, but I am. Adam likes to know, what are you preaching on? I told him I'm going to preach on little boys that don't listen.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to preach on. I'm going to preach on little boys that don't listen. Well, all of a sudden, his older brother jumps up. Yeah. And all of a sudden, the other one's going, yeah. And so they're back and forth at each other going, yeah, it's all you, see? You do this and you do this. Well, I know it. And then all of a sudden they start giving percentages. Well, I listen 75% of the time. Well, I'm like 90. No, 95. No, 99% of the time. And it's like, no, you don't. Yeah, I do. Well, you know what? Sometimes God don't want us to come up there and say, well, Lord, you know what? I'm doing 99.9%. If you're not sold out all the way, you know what? Don't tell God how good you are. Because you know what? God don't care about your goodness because He ain't looking at your goodness. He don't need any of that. The only thing we can do is come before God and tell Him, Lord, we need help, because you know what? We can't do it in ourselves. God don't want us trying to keep scoreboard. You know, many people, they spend more time interested in knowing what everybody else is doing and trying to keep score on everybody else. You know, the thing is, you know, I hope y'all don't mind. Go ahead. Thank you, brother. You know, there was a man years and many, many years ago, and some of y'all probably know the song, but you know, the man said, you know, he said, if you mind your own business, he said, then you won't be minding mine.
Right.
And that may be the bad song to be singing it, talking about it in church, but you know what? The sentiment's correct.
Yeah.
You know what? If we spend less time talking to each other about everybody else's problems or trying to analyze everybody else, you know, the only person you ought to be talking to about everybody else's problems in the church, you ought to be talking to God.
Amen.
If you ain't talking to God about everybody else's problems, you ain't got no business talking to nobody. But you know what? We try to figure out whatever. Well, I don't like the way that person does. Well, you know what? That ain't your problem. If you ain't, you know what the first thing to do, if you ain't got on your knees and prayed for somebody before you got up and said anything, then you know what, you don't need to say nothing.
Amen.
You know what, I get so irritated with people sometimes, it just rubs me raw.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say how I feel. But you know, it's so amazing. You know, because you know, we live in a godless generation. We live in an absolute godless world. And you know the people that, you know, because you know what, it's not the person sitting down here in the bar somewhere that's a problem. It's not the person in some house of ill repute somewhere. That's the problem. It's the problem that somebody that actually says they're a Christian and tries to point fingers at people, and you know what? They got so many skeletons in their closet, nobody wants to look. Why the scripture tells us, you know, why are we trying to fool a speck out of our brother's eye when we got a beam in ours, but we don't want to deal with the beam? That might be off the subject, but that's just the way I feel. Why? Because you find people that believe this message. You know what? If we believe this message, then we need to be sold out to this message. We've got to be faithful to what the prophet said. It didn't matter whether it rakes us over the coals or it hurts our feelings or whatever else. You know, we've got to be faithful to what God's called us to. And you know, the thing is everybody likes to quote the scripture where Brother Branham says, well, you know, you better not shout. You better not jump too high. If you fall, if you come back down, you better be able to walk straight line. Don't jump no higher than you can live. Well, you know what? The problem is nobody, and I don't believe in living right. I don't believe no greasy grace or nothing else. But there's one thing about it is when you try to measure everybody by your experience and by your yardstick, that ain't none of your business. You know, God measures somebody. And you know, if we ever got to the place, you know, because there's times people want to say things and people don't realize this, that if you say things, and you might, and sometimes people say things, and that you might have the right intention what's being said. But you know what? If you don't pray over it, and seek God's faith, before you say something, sometimes people take offense at what you're saying, and you've hurt somebody. And you know, the thing is people don't realize that what you're saying is actually doing more harm than good. If we just wait on the Lord. Can we just wait on the Lord and say what the Lord wants us to say? Lord, let us be faithful to you. The scripture tells us to judge not lest we be judged. Well, the thing is do we approach everything the right way? Because, if you find a brother in a fault, If you can find me a scripture on how to handle that, not the way some people handle it, but I'd like to see that, because you know the scripture tells me if you find a brother in a fault, you're supposed to go to him and try to restore that one. I hadn't found one yet where you're supposed to. If you find a brother in a fault, where you're supposed to put him under, you go, I don't know what your problem is. Or grab him by the shirt collar. What's your problem? You don't get anybody that way. You don't help anybody that way. Let's be faithful to what God called us to. You know, if we show the love of God, because if the love of God's been shown to us, whatever you went through, when we were in sins and trespasses, and we didn't have anything, and we were nothing in this world, but we were lost in sin, separated, alienated from God, and you know what? The love of God come to us. And you know, that's the only way that you're ever going to restore one is by the love of God. To help someone. That you've got to be able to help someone that way. And know that Brother Ram said you can't help someone if you don't know how to feel for that person, if you can't be in their shoes, if you don't know the situation they're in, you're never going to help anybody. And that's what I want to do. I want to be found faithful to what God has called. I want to be a person that shows the love of God, that I can restore somebody, that I can help somebody. Because you know what? Many times in this world you find a lot of people and You see the things that happen to people, and they don't see anybody, they don't see any help. Well, you know, that's a shame that people that go to the house of God can't find help. If you can't, and you know, the thing is you don't have to pat them on the back and, you know, just go along with them. No, but you know what? You can be there for them. You can stand there. You can pray for them. And you know what? You can encourage somebody, but you got to correct them in love. The scripture tells us to reprove, rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And many times people have forgot that on how to rebuke, reprove, to exhort somebody. They just want to rebuke somebody. But you know, there's a time you got to build people up. You got to encourage somebody. You got to know how to deal with these things. Said he's quit preaching. He started meddling. But you know what? You know, it's you ask me, why are you talking about this? Well, you look at the world today, and you know, especially you look at kids today, and it seems like it doesn't go a week, and you find some kid that's on the news somewhere, and it's they're bullied. You know, you see all these kids, and you know the first thing you read about, here's some kid, and they hung themselves. You find a kid that's bullied, and you know, and they've went out and done whatever, and they end up killing themselves. They end up taking medicine or whatever else to kill themselves. People, they've taken guns and shot themselves. And you know, the first thing you start reading about their lives, and you know what? They can't find anybody that's on their side. Well, you know what? You can't help anybody like that. But you know, because so many people have, because they're looking for a God with skin. And you know what? You and I are that God to reach these people. To the people, you know, because years ago, we went to, Richard and I and my sisters, we went to a Christian school, and there was these little girls that were in the Christian school, and they had come from a really messed up family. And you know, one of the questions was, they had to answer who loved them. They wanted somebody, and you know, the only person that those kids knew that loved them, that they had love from, was their teacher. Nobody that, when they went home, nobody that they lived with, they felt that they had love, they had any kind of affection from, but it was this Christian lady in the school. And she said, that's the person that loves me. That's love. And you know, many times, you know, we can feed kids, we can clothe them, we can do a lot of things, but you know what? They need to know that they're loved, that they're supported. And you know, the scripture tells us, you know, we can take care of the natural needs of a person, but you know what? We need to be, as a body of Christ, we have to stand behind each other and support each other in a spiritual realm, to know that people, hey, I know, you know, because it's, you know, sometimes you feel like, you know, I'm on an island by myself. But you know, the thing is, it's nice when you get a phone call or something, and somebody, you know, because the greatest, you know, you can do many things. You can see miracles take place or different things. But you know, one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my life is when I pick up the phone and I'm able to call somebody because they're on my heart, and I tell them, I say, listen, I don't know what you're going on. I want to let you know, I love you. I'm praying for you. You just been on my heart or whatever. And all of a sudden, they're out there and they're, and you know, they're thinking, I'm on an island by myself. I'm fighting whatever I'm fighting, and I'm trying to fight this battle by myself. And you know what? It's great to know that we have a heavenly Father that's on our side. And many times when we think we're going all by ourselves, just like Elijah said, you know, Lord, I'm all by myself. He said, no, I got 7,000 more that's never bowed a knee. Well, you know what? I tell you what, brothers and sisters, it's the same way with you and I. It's wonderful that you can touch somebody. And you know what? Be the instrument that God uses to touch somebody's life. That's what I want to be. I want to be the instrument that touches their life. Amen. Why? Because I've had people touch mine. And that's what I want to be. I want to be faithful to what God called us to. You know, if I have to go, if I live nothing but in valleys or whatever God wants me to do, what I just want to be faithful to that. God help us to be faithful to the word that He's called us to. You know what? You're not ever going to conquer anything in a day, but you know, you got to be faithful to the fight, to the climb. Just keep fighting, keep climbing. Amen. And you'll reach that place. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. We're going to have the musicians come and just... If you have a need tonight, just sing. If you have a need, you know, you don't, if you want prayer, you can come, but you know what? You can talk to God right where you're at. God can meet you right where you're at tonight. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I'm just so thankful, Lord, that, Lord, you're faithful to us. Great is thy faithfulness. As the scripture says, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you've been faithful to us all along the way. Lord, help us that we can be more faithful to you, Lord. Let us just, Lord, in everything that we do, Lord. Lord, as we look in your scripture, Lord Jesus, we want to be more like you in everything that we do. Lord, as the song says, I want to be so much like you, the world can't tell us apart. And nobody can tell us apart that they see Jesus Christ in us. Lord Jesus, because we can do many things in this world, but Lord, if we're not manifesting you, Lord, if we're not showing the world you, Lord, we're not doing anything. And Lord, just help us tonight. Just take these words, Lord Jesus, that are all jumbled up, Lord. Lord, just take them, Lord, and Lord, just speak to each heart tonight, Lord Jesus, and use them, Lord, that it be a blessing to the people, Lord. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, that we can do, Lord, that's what we want to do. Lord, whatever you have to do to us, Lord, to mold us and make us into your image, Lord, to be more like you, that's what we want to do. Lord, we just commit ourselves to your hands, Lord. Lord, mold us. And do everything that needs to be done to us, Lord. Lord, we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
In prisoner's chains, stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loose, and they were free. I bless your name.
Bless your name.
Amen. Sing one more song before we go this evening. Amen. So glad that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world.
That's it.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Like a roaring lion roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, the Bible tells his soul.
Many souls
have been his prey. Some week out, but God has given us today His overcoming power. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind, came into the upper room and baptized all of them
with the power
greater than
any
earthly foe.
I'm
so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world.
Amen. God bless you tonight as we get ready to go. Bible study Saturday night. Amen. Just so thankful to the Lord for what He's done for us.
Amen.
And, I was listening to Brother Branham, and I've been listening to Brother Dale's the seals. I try to listen to them on a regular basis, continually go through them. And Brother Branham was talking about the Jews. You know, the grace of God to the Jews was, it's kind of hard to imagine that being, Brother Branham said it was the tender hand of Jehovah.
Right.
And, he said all those demonic forces, those 200,000 demons being loosed on them. And he said he was to drive them back to their homeland.
Right.
And you contemplate that. But Brother Branham said in the last days, that was poured out on the bride.
That's right.
And many times, sometimes you go down the road and you think, sometimes, we look at the grace of God and sometimes we don't realize what the grace of God is. That's the love of God that, He's poured that out to bring us to the Word. Whatever it takes to get us there.
Yeah.
And that's the love of God because He's bringing us to a place. And many times we look and we think, it's just like trying to, sometimes when you raise your kids and you see, they think you're horrible. They think you're mean. You're terrible.
Yeah.
But, one of these days they look back and they think, that's the love. And, we look at things and we wonder why we go through things. And, you don't like it at the time, but, it's the grace of God and how much God loves us. And, it's such a wonderful thing to know the depth of God's love. Sometimes we don't, it's kind of hard to understand it, but it's so great when God
right.
lets us sometimes see just a part of that to realize just how loved we are.
Right.
And, I just want to thank him every day for that.
Right.
Let's thank him. And I love him because he first loved me.
Glory.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful week. And we'll, Lord willing, meet back on Saturday for Bible study. And so let's just all bow our heads. And we're going to ask Brother Colley, if he doesn't mind, to dismiss us in prayer, brother.
Sending your servant for the bringing of word unto us. Father, we pray that we would let those words find a resting place in our heart. Father, that would strengthen us each step that we take, Father, in our minds and in our hearts, Father. We would always remember, Father, that your word is true. And Lord, we thank you for it. And when we go home, let you bless and protect us along the roadway. Father, all things from you as possible. And let us believe that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.
The world won't try.